Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being. We have with us on the line Greg Perry. We're going to be talking to him about his book, Disabling America, The Unintended Consequences of the Government's Protection of the Handicap. Greg, are you there?
I am, Dr. Stan. It's an honor to be here.
Well, I really appreciate that. I understand you're a friend of Joe Ferris, World Net Daily.
He is a wonderful man to be a friend to.
He really is. Well, we are both blessed. And, of course, for those who don't know Joe Ferrer, he was a newspaper editor for many years. He was the editor, I think, of the Sacramento Bee or the other newspaper in Sacramento. But, of course, because of his strong stand on the right of the unborn, why they got rid of him. And eventually he came up with this idea of setting up a newspaper on the internet, and today World Net Daily is one of the finest sources of news and information you'll ever find, and they have a subdivision that publishes books, and that's where Greg's book is published by the World Net Daily Books, and it tells you the story of the Americans with Disability Act. And I'll have to admit I learned a lot really of the unintended consequences of this program, which supposedly is aimed at helping the disabled. Well, Greg, you pick up the story from there, because you yourself have a disability, and you tell the story of why this really is producing far more problems than it would ever help to solve.
Well, I'll be glad to tell you this. I have been wishing that since 1990, when they passed the Americans with Disabilities Act, I've always regretted not going to Washington to speak out against it, because I really saw it as being a problem, and it's actually far exceeded my expectations, only not in the right way. It's done actually far more damage than I ever thought that it would. And a lot of people who don't know much about the ADA and other disability acts related to it don't really know how it affects their everyday life, especially if they're not handicapped. I was born with one leg and a total of three deformed fingers on both hands. And so I guess a lot of people would call me handicapped or disabled. And I prefer the term handicapped over disabled. I think that it's more accurate. The term disabled, if you disabled an alarm system, then the alarm system doesn't work anymore. And also, people have been abusing the term disability when they really do not have any handicap whatsoever. So I like to say that I'm handicapped. And there are many problems with laws such as this, but this one really takes the cake. I always like to start off saying, well, what if you were a small business owner? Say you owned a small coffee shop, and as, 80% of American small businesses are, you were struggling to get by the first few years. And in 1990, the government passes the Americans with Disabilities Act. Tom Harkin and Bob Dole were primary in its passage. They said that 43 million Americans were disabled. And in order to get that number, they had to include approximately 30 million people who were over the age of 65. That was the only problem they had, according to the senators. In other words, if you're over age 65, you fall into the category of being disabled, according to the originators of the ADA.
Well, you hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment. Of course, I'm 75. I don't consider myself disabled in the least bit, and you don't consider yourself disabled. We're going to be back here in just a moment. This is a fascinating subject, a fascinating book. You won't want to miss any part of this program. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and our special guest this afternoon is Greg Perry. And he was born with one leg and three disabled fingers, three stubby fingers on both hands, so a total of three fingers. But he's been able to accomplish all sorts of things. He's written 75 books. This is the 75th book he's written. Some of his books are bestsellers, having sold up to 2 million copies. He's an expert on computers. He's not disabled in his own mind, and he's able to accomplish all sorts of things. He tells the story of his life. He tells the story, really, of what's happening to America. And as we've always said, there is no problem facing our society that a new government program won't complicate and make worse. So with that as a thought, I'm going to let you pick up the story there, Greg, and you can be a little repetitive because we have new stations just joined our network. Go ahead.
Sure. Well, we're talking about the Americans with Disabilities Act and why it actually harms the disabled or the truly handicapped folks in our society. If you were to start up a small business and the government comes along and says that you will spend $25,000, $50,000, $100,000 to change every fixture, door, doorknob, toilet, faucet, parking space. Some counters are too high, those counters are too low. See, before that happened, I would suggest that any business owner in America, because Americans are very compassionate people, any business owner would have gone to the door if someone on crutches or on a wheelchair had rolled up and helped that person in and went out of his or her way to help that person. But after being required by law to spend however many tens of thousands of dollars they've been required, I would suggest the next time that person rolls up into the door, that business owner, and it's only human nature because man's depraved, that business owner will look at that person and say, look, you are already equal now. I had to do all of this, maybe even fire one of my own relatives who worked for me, you know, because a lot of families work for small businesses. In order to pay for these changes that I was coerced into doing, you are now equal. You're on your own. See, Dr. Stan, whenever someone helps a little old lady across the street, that's a compassionate act. But if a policeman comes along and puts a gun to your head and says you will walk that lady across the street, that's coercion. And that never produces compassion. It's, as you said, it produces the opposite of its intentions.
And I think we have real problems. And as you read this book, you'll find out instance after instance after instance where this system has been abused. Tremendous lawsuits. The deaf lifeguard, you know, they wouldn't let him work as a lifeguard because he was deaf and couldn't hear anybody shouting to tell him somebody was drowning. And, of course, you fire him while you get into real problems. We'll be back in just a moment with Greg, and we'll be talking about his book. Well, Dr. Stan, our guest this afternoon is Greg Perry. We're talking about the Americans with Disability Act and how it was passed with all this idea of compassion towards those people who were disabled. But it is Greg's contention that what you're doing is making people who have a disability increasingly dependent. Instead of teaching they can be independent and building up their self-esteem on their own, you suddenly make them feel that they're dependent, that they can't accomplish anything, have to be helped, and they get on to disability payments, they get all sorts of special provisions, they have to begin modifying buildings and bathrooms and walkways for them, and really what's happening is we've created a monster that is taking away the freedom of every American citizen, including those who are disabled. So pick up the story from there, Greg.
Okay, well, one thing that really bothers me about this act, and there are many things that bother me about the government disability programs, but they don't seem to, now I know that I'm cynical a little bit, and I shouldn't be, but they don't seem to really care about those who are truly handicapped. You will see instances, say Terry Schiavo. Do you remember Terry Schiavo down in
Sure.
Florida?
Sure, right.
She's in a coma, and her crime that they were going to murder her for, in my opinion, was that she was disabled. She was in a coma. And there were no activists who were ADA activists who often campaign in order to get laws changed down there trying to save her life. However, if those parking spaces had been 2 inches too narrow right outside her door, they would have shut that place down. And you can also look at this inside the abortion clinics all across America. If a baby's being put to death because of spina bifida or Down syndrome, no ADA advocate, no Americans with Disabilities advocate group or attorney is in there to stop that whatsoever. They do not care about that. That's not a good reason to save that baby's life. However, it's a good reason to shut down the business, as I said before, if their front doors are not wide enough.
And you point out that there have been lawsuits because in motion picture theaters, why the seats weren't big enough for somebody who weighed 310 pounds or 410 pounds. And so then they got to modify all the seats so they'd be big enough for the biggest, fattest person who wants to come to the movie. As if, then what happens to the cost of the motion picture theater? And then, of course, the seats are so wide that those of us who are a little skinnier, we can't rest our elbows on the armrest because they're too far apart.
That's exactly right. And there are even worse instances, like the dentist who was charged for, and I apologize for even bringing this subject, but apologized for molesting his patients, and he used as his defense, and his attorney was right there with him, using as his defense that he was disabled under the Americans with Disabilities Act because he had this compulsion, this problem.
He has a sexual addiction, and so he was entitled. I mean, you couldn't really prosecute him because he wasn't guilty.
That is what they said, and that's despicable.
Did that defense work?
Actually, that did not work. However, as you've seen from reading Disabling America, there are so many cases where things so ludicrous do work like that that you can't blame them for trying.
And really, this has created a whole industry for lawyers, hasn't it? They're just suing anybody they want to because, they're just sort of like a class action suit. Somebody doesn't have a walkway. They tried to sue Clint Eastwood because he didn't have a walkway or something in one of his buildings. And they're going to sue him for hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Sure.
Without even giving him a chance to put in the walkway. They're not really interested in having the access. They're interested in getting the money.
That seems to be it. Fortunately, that lawyer who sued him was sued for having an office that was not ADA compliant a few months later. So there's some justice in the world.
Well, of course, as you go through the book and you just talk about your own personal experience growing up, why don't you talk a little bit about that? Because, I mean, you didn't even know you were disabled until somebody told you.
Yeah, I was about 6 or 7. Someone said I was handicapped, and I'd heard that word probably the first time then, and by then, I was way past worrying about it. My parents, who are still alive and are wonderful married parents that all my life treated me as though I was their son, not that I was handicapped. I was their son. And they gave me every option possible that they could give me. Whenever I was 3 or 4, my father bought me a baseball bat and a baseball and a football and a baseball glove. And he gave them to me, not all at the same time. And he handed me the bat and tossed the ball to me, and I hit it. Now, maybe I couldn't have. He didn't know whether I could or not. If he had tried to rig something up and assume that I needed help beforehand, I may not have ever been able to use a bat. But he just handed it to me and said, let's try this. And threw the ball and I hit it. I was a big baseball fan as a kid and I saw it on TV and it was fun. And so my parents always gave me lots of choices. I remember that I had a guitar that they bought at a garage sale one time when I was about 8. And I couldn't play it. It's difficult to play chords with 3 stubby fingers. But that was no problem. I put it away after a few minutes and was never bothered by it because I had other things I was doing. And they made it, they gave me an environment that taught me that, look, you have plenty of choices. Not everyone can do everything. Whether I'm handicapped or not, there are things you can't do, even though you have all 10 fingers and both legs. But that doesn't mean that you can't enjoy life. And the same was true with me and everyone else. We have to do the best with what we can. And I think parents of newborn handicapped children can give them lots of opportunities and give them the most potential possible. I do question the use of government schools, public schools for handicapped kids. I'm not sure that, actually I'm fairly well convinced they're bad for the handicapped kids. But I am not convinced, I am strongly convinced that parents make the best teachers for such kids. And study after study shows that the results of homeschooling and private education for handicapped children far exceeds the government school programs.
And one of your comments was that you, your mother had taught you, was a teacher, so she taught you to read. You could read when you were 4 years old. And, of course, today you hear the experts say, well, every child should be able to read by the end of the 3rd grade. That means by the time they're 9. So you were reading when you were 4, and that really was a wonderful thing. It really gave you a tremendous advantage over all the other children in the class, didn't it?
It really did. And even though I did go to public school, I could read when I went into the public school system. And they talk about self-esteem. That seems to be all that they care about these days is self-esteem. But I had lots of self-esteem because I could read and do some math and numbers and things like that. And if you teach a child properly how to learn, he or she has ample self-esteem. You never have to worry about the self-esteem issue.
And you've written 75 books?
I've written 75 computer books, just titles all over. You can go to Barnes & Noble and find, I don't know, 20 or 30 at any one time. I've also written a book on rental properties because I used to have several of those. My father still does. I help him with those at times. And I could teach people who didn't like computers how to find the computers to be easy to use. And I thought, well, everyone I know who's a landlord doesn't like it, but I enjoy it. So I thought I'd write a book and show people how to do that.
Well, I think your book on disabling America really is well worthwhile because it has a lot of things that people just never stop and think about, and some of the totally ridiculous things that have happened as a result of this. And we have to have, you know, special ramps going into buildings. I built some buildings that you're talking about $10,000 additional just to put the ramps getting into the buildings, and then the width of the doors. And what are some of the other things that they require? What's this about the handles on the doors in public buildings?
Yeah, round doorknobs are now illegal in the United States of America, and a lot of your audience won't know that. That's something really sad. In a commercial building, you cannot have a round doorknob. And the ADA, that type of law, is coming to your own home soon. There are neighborhoods in America today that must be ADA compliant, that must have the ramps, the bathroom doors on the downstairs all have to be ADA compliant. And so they are coming into your own home, and I know that I'm a little bit cynical because I'm so close to this issue, but my own home will be the last home in America that changes its round doorknobs to levered doorknobs, even though I really like levered doorknobs. They're a lot easier for me, and I think for everyone, but they will arrest me before I make that change, and I think that would be very ironic.
The incredible thing is these are local city ordinances that bring the local city under ADA compliance. And so, of course, the disabled people say, well, we can't go visit our friends, and so we should be able to go visit our friends. So they're going to have to modify by law an edict with fines and all sorts of horrible things that will happen to people if they don't modify their homes to make them, handicap friendly.
And with friends like that, exactly, with friends like that, who needs enemies if they're making a change, all of that? When it comes to hiring, I don't want to work for someone who doesn't want to hire me. Or when it comes to going into a business, if someone doesn't want me in there, if they don't want to make the changes needed for me to go in there, well, that's fine. That's their business. I don't want to do business with them. That's fine. I can go somewhere else. However, whenever the government comes in and coerces businesses and employers to hire and to change their fixtures so that all people can come in there, no matter what the expense, we don't have any idea who wants us in there or not. It's no longer a free society. And I really feel awkward sometimes when I drive down the street and see 200 wheelchair signs everywhere I go. Within a city block, I'll see 50 or 60 sometimes, depending on how many businesses are around there. And it's reminding us, it's just a terrible reminder of what the government's done in 15 short years.
And the other thing is that when you have this special permission to park very close, then a lot of people who are really not very disabled will want to get one because they don't want to have to walk all that distance. And so people who are not disabled will, by one means or another, get that. In one city, weren't they even stealing the permit so that they would have a disabled permit? They could park in a disabled place?
Yeah, that's very common. I bet some have been sold on eBay before. I don't know that for a fact, but you would think it would naturally be happening somewhere. And bad laws make lawbreakers out of good people. And that's one indication of a bad law, is that good people start breaking it. And you'll see that with wheelchair people who don't really need a wheelchair parking permit, but their back sometimes hurts them. They'll go get a parking permit. And I'm not saying that that's breaking the law, but it's using it to their advantage. And we see that all over. Institutional laws such as this, they train family, they train churches to ignore those that they should be helping. It makes me uncomfortable to see things like this.
All right. Well, we're going to, of course, be back here in just a few moments with our special guest today, Greg Perry.
4-tape set on the JFK assassination. It includes an interview with Lee Harvey Oswald. Of course, it's not an interview that I did, but it is an interview, and you'll actually hear Lee Harvey Oswald talking before the time of the assassination. A 2-hour interview with Colonel Fletcher Prouty, who was the liaison between the Pentagon and the CIA at the time of the assassination of an American president. And then, of course, my overall analysis of the reasons why President Kennedy was assassinated. There's so much information that has not been put out. And if you listen to this 4-tape set, you will begin to understand that there are forces at work behind the scenes which have been able to confuse the American people about the reality of the murder of an American president. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, that's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for the JFK assassination tapes.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. A secret of healthy aging was recently found among people who have lived unusually long, healthy lives. The longest-lived woman, Jean Calment of France, who lived 122 years, and man, Antonio Todd of the Italian Isle of Sardinia, who lived 115 years, as well as the Queen Mother of England, who lived 100 years, outliving one of her daughters by 3 decades, was their daily consumption of red wine. But health authorities have been reticent to recommend an alcoholic beverage to the public at large until now. Longevinex is the world's first stabilized French red wine extract in a pill, without the calories and without the alcohol or sulfite preservatives. One Longevinex capsule provides the red wine molecules found in 5 glasses of the best red wine. Call 866-405-4000 to order Longevinex. It's a revolutionary dietary supplement. 866-405-4000.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Thierry. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. I want to mention that we sell the Miracle 2 soap products, and we can't make any health claims for them, but we can tell you an awful lot of people who use them give us some of the most amazing stories, and that some of the people claim that they seem to help their rashes or helps the acne. That's the gel. The people who use the gel just love it. For some woman just bought 6 bottles of it the other day because she uses it for almost everything around the house. And there's a soap and a moisturizing soap, a lotion, and a neutralizing solution. Very alkaline solution, which some people take for upper gastrointestinal tract problems, and some people take it for lower gastrointestinal tract problems. All we can do is suggest try the products. I know I wouldn't be without them. I had a soap rash, and since I've been using the Miracle 2 moisturizing soap, why, that's been gone. Anyway, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And ask for the Miracle 2 soap product special. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and I guess this afternoon is Greg Perry. We're talking about his book, Disabling America. And there are all sorts of crazy laws that they have out there that just don't make sense. And you told the story about this fellow who had a restaurant, and working in the kitchen was this gentleman with AIDS. Well, he was in the terminal stage of AIDS, where he had no immunity, and he was developing sores all over his body and his arms and his neck. And then he would develop all sorts of infections because he had no immunity. And the word got around the town that there was somebody working with AIDS that had in the kitchen at this restaurant. Why don't you tell that incredible story?
Well, he was working in the food service area, where he was using knives and all of that, and people were afraid of infection, not just the AIDS infection, but his defenses were down, and they have lots of hepatitis problems and in the food industry without AIDS being involved, it's a problem to keep food and to keep people who are eating in your restaurant as healthy as possible. And so the owner of this restaurant, who, by the way, had three deaf relatives and was actually very pleased when the ADA was passed, he went to this cook, this chef, whom he liked very much, and he said, look, we have a problem because of your situation. I would like to move you out of the kitchen, but I have many other things that I'd like you to do, and I'll give you a raise so that, you know, it'll be not only a learning experience, but you'll get paid more, and I think you'll be happier there. And this man left, the chef left, and came back with an EEOC lawyer, and the EEOC and the Department of Justice are really the two police forces for disabilities in America. And they said, no, he will remain in the kitchen. He will remain a chef. Well, that caused all sorts of a domino effect because it was a small college town. This was a very popular place, little pizza Italian restaurant, and the owner had actually expanded it some so that they could have party rooms in the back for birthdays and things like that. Well, his business dropped off about 75% when word got around that the chef was still working in the kitchen, and he had to shut down his business. And so the result of this EEOC lawyer, who, by the way, got paid no matter what, the result was the poor man with AIDS lost his job. Everyone else lost their job. The man who invested in the restaurant lost his investment. The real estate market was hurt because there was another property on the block that was for sale or for rent. Everyone lost a nice restaurant in the town that they enjoyed going to. It was a small college town, and they all flocked to this place. And so everyone loses except the EEOC man who went about his daily work, and we are without that great restaurant that sounded so good. I wish they were still open, because the next time I'm down in Austin, I would have liked to have gone to eat there. It sounded great. But no one seems to care about the actual results. I often get a backlash of callers sometimes, depending on where I'm talking about this, or people in the audience who say, look, you can get a tax break if you change your business, or if you hire someone who's disabled, you can get a tax break. And my response is, well, there's only one thing worse than the government making me change my business to be ADA compliant. There's only one thing worse than that, and that's when I allow my neighbors to pay for it. Because whenever there's a tax break given, well, tax revenues go down, and the government never spends less. And so someone has to make up that hole that's left, and it's your neighbors. They're the ones who are paying for this, and that's worse than you having to pay for it, which is bad enough.
I think one of the most carefully kept secrets in the world today is that government doesn't have any money. The only money it has is what it takes from the people by force, what it creates by inflation, devaluing the value of everybody's currency, and then, of course, what it borrows from future generations. So there's really no free lunches, Greg.
There's no free lunches at all. And they say that gold is a risky investment, which is really funny when you look at how the dollar's lost its value over the last 70 years. But, some of the complainers that complain because I talk about the ADA, and I don't feel that I'm vicious in what I'm saying, I get the sense that they kind of seethe at me when they talk to me. They're vicious when they say I shouldn't be telling this stuff, I shouldn't be writing this book. And one sentence comes to my mind, and that's, when you rob Peter to pay Paul, Paul will never complain.
Right, but the other thing is eventually Paul's going to quit working too.
Sure. You know,
we had a war on cancer, we've got more cancer. We had a war on poverty, we've got more poverty. We had a war on drugs, and we've got more drugs. We have a war on terror, and now we've got more terrorism than ever before all throughout the world. And, of course, we have a war on disability, and I fear we're going to get more disability as a result of it. We're going to be back here in just a moment or two, and, of course, we'll welcome your calls at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. The book, Disabling America, by Greg Perry.
Have you ever wondered what really happened in Oklahoma City? Well, a very important video is the cover-up in Oklahoma City. It really consists of film clips that were actually taken from video footage shot during the first 2 or 3 days after the bombing. And you'll actually hear the commentators in Oklahoma City talking about the second bomb, the third bomb that had been disarmed. Now, if they were actually disarming bombs there, why didn't we hear that throughout the rest of the country? You'll actually hear an interview with one of the gentlemen who was in the Murrah building at the time that the bomb went off, and he had time then to jump underneath his desk before the glass blew in from outside. Obviously, there were two bombs, one inside, one outside. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. It is vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. I want to mention that we carry the Big Berkey and the Berkey Light water filters. And why would anybody want a water filter? Well, if there was an emergency, you'd sure want to have one, because then you could use almost any type of water out of your swimming pool, out of a pond, out of a river, out of a lake, and the water would be safe and potable. And if I can suggest that the Berkey water filters, first of all, there's the Big Berkey. It's made out of stainless steel. It has ceramic filters. These last for a good long time. You can clean the filters repeatedly and use them for years. Under normal circumstances, it'll clean up the taste of the water. It'll, of course, do away with most herbicides and pesticides and certainly the most of the bacteria. So the point where the water is safe to drink. Now, the Big Berkey is increased in price to $279. It is available in every state except California and Iowa. However, if you want to get a filter that you can use in California, it's exactly the same size. It's called a Berkey Light. Unfortunately, the price has not gone up. It is made of Lexan, so you can see the water level. The filters are really much superior to that in the Big Berkey, but they have to be replaced every 2 to 3 years. But they really purify the water, and they take out just about all the bacteria down to about the umpteenth degree, and the herbicides and the pesticides and the MTBE. They will not take out the fluoride. None of the filters will take out the fluoride or the arsenic or the lead, but you can get special post filters for either the Big Berkey or the Berkey Light. The Berkey Light's $199. If you get either one of the filters from us, you'll get a four-tape set or a video that we have produced. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927 and, ask about the Big Berkey or the Berkey Light, or look at them at our website at RadioLiberty.com. Well, Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Greg Perry. His book is Disabling America. Greg, where can people get copies of your book?
Well, if they have computer access, probably the best place is Amazon.com. They can ship them out just immediately, within 12 or 15 hours. And also, if you don't go to Amazon.com, every bookstore in the country either has one or more copies, or they can get them just almost immediately, because it's a recently released book. Disabling America is really available everywhere.
All right, we've got a good distributor. Let's go to Roger, who's calling from Allentown. Roger, question or comment?
Yes, thank you, gentlemen, and this is very refreshing hearing you, Perry, or should I say depressing, both, I guess.
Sure.
But I wanted to ask, in the same, and it kind of reminds me hearing you about, I think it was both Walter Williams and Thomas Sowell expressing their eternal gratitude that they got their college degrees before affirmative action was put in, so nobody would question their qualifications. And I would like to ask in a similar vein, do you have much feedback on handicapped persons who find themselves expectedly, I would expect, subject to more extensive pre-employment screenings, so they make sure, because a white guy who's healthy, let's say, can be hired and fired with relative impunity. So do these people find themselves being more carefully hired and more difficult to fire, because they're going to come under some wrongful discharge lawsuit, etc.?
That's a very good question, Roger, and this really is all addressed in the book. Why don't you pick up that story, Greg?
Sure. Actually, I talk about Walter Williams and that statement that you said, Roger. He was glad he was born before the civil rights law was passed, and I'm glad I was born before the ADA. I know that personally I can say I would be a loser today had the ADA gotten their hands on me when I was young. I'm not saying that everyone who falls under the ADA takes advantage of it, but I know myself, and I know during my teen years I would have done anything. I was a very self-starting child, and I learned fast, and I really enjoyed life, and when I became a teenager, I became a worldly teenager, and I would have done anything to get out of responsibility, to be given some special government program so I wouldn't have to work as hard, to be given a job, to be given a paycheck. I would have grabbed at something like that. Now, there is a slight difference between the civil rights laws, and by the way, I agree with Walter Williams and Dr. Soule and their views of it, but really, in order to allow, say, an African American into your business, you don't have to make any changes to your business. And someone who disallows someone of another race into their business is a jerk. And there's no reason for that. That's an evil thing to do. But it's just as evil or more evil to tell someone you will spend so many thousands of dollars to allow this handicapped person into your business. It's not equal access that they're requiring. They require people to be more than equal. When it comes to hiring, a man named Lou Rockwell called the ADA people such as, well, handicapped people, walking lawsuits. And I correct that and say, well, some of us are rolling lawsuits. But they have made employers fearful to hire the handicapped. And that was a slogan, hire the handicapped, in the 50s and 60s. They used that. That would be politically incorrect today. The world doesn't like that. But it actually worked, because people who had overcome a disability, that they were on crutches or in a wheelchair, but they could still do the job, employers thought, that person has fortitude. If they can overcome that adversity, they're going to make a great employee. And they were hiring handicapped folks right and left, and now they fear to hire us because of the lawsuit situation. And they are not allowed to ask us if we need anything special for the job. That is against the law. And only when we finally get hired will we then say, look, here's what I need in order to do this job. I need you to spin this. I need you to change this. I need a hearing impaired device for the phones. I need all these things.
How about the blind people who need somebody to read to them so they can do their job?
How about the ADA that says if someone needs to have a person with them full time in order to go to the bathroom with them, that is a requirement that the business has to give.
Talk about organized madness. This really is organized madness. And in fact, those slogans you see, you know, is there intelligent life on other planets, should be changed to, is there intelligent life on Earth? And the fact that the American people have accepted this without ever realizing that federal government has no right at all to force employers to do anything at all, because that's out of their perspective. The people in Washington, D.C. have violated our Constitution, our constitutional rights. I don't think we should discriminate against anybody. But there comes a time when certain people cannot do the job. An employer cannot or should not be required to hire him. Anything else, Roger?
Yeah, well, two-part. Do you find then that also that means that the handicapped folks tend to be, as with black folks, by these laws, locked out of particularly entry-level job positions? And you also find then that when they are hired, they want to meet all the quotas in a single individual, like, say, a handicapped woman who's black and who, I guess now you have to throw in, is also a lesbian?
Sure, you might as well. Yes, as a matter of fact, I have in my inbox right now a letter from a lady who wrote me and says she's having all sorts of problems getting hired. She doesn't want help from the government, but she is finding employers are hesitant, whereas 5 or 6 years ago, there was no problem. People would hire her all the time. Now, I know that this is a one-sided letter and that I may or may not know her full story just from her own words. But and also one single incident doesn't make a trend. But I do know that of all the reading that I've done, employers are very fearful of the ADA. And it's not just that they can't win in court, because if it finally gets to court, a lot of employers do win these suits. They do win and show that they weren't discriminating against this employee. But it costs so much, most of them cannot afford to take it to court. So they have to settle out of court and settle for some huge amount of money that's still less than the court charges would be, and everyone loses all the way around except the attorneys, and it's a sad situation. The last part of your question was
covering all the bases in a single employee.
Oh, sure. Yeah, whenever I went to work for a Fortune 500 company right out of college. This was back in 90, maybe, well, a little bit before the 90s, actually. The lady asked me at Human Resources, why didn't I check the box that said I was disabled? And again, this was before the ADA. And I said, I'm not sure what you mean. She said, and then I realized what she was talking about. It didn't even dawn on me what she was talking. I said, oh. I said, does it help the company if I did? And she said, oh, yes. We get lots of advantages if you mark that. And I marked it, and Roger, ever since, I have regretted, I will never take that mark again. I won't do that ever in my life, and I regret doing it then.
Okay, Roger, thanks so much for calling.
God bless.
And our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. And in the local telephone number, 464-8295, here in the Central Coast of California. Our guest today is Greg Perry. His book is Disabling America, The Unintended Consequences of the Government's Protection of the Handicapped. And there's a whole section in here just on these ridiculous suits. There's only one that I really enjoyed, and that was that was the one where you said that that at one time the Americans with Disability Act was justified. It had to do with a girl, and her father wanted to take her out to a wetland area or a lake or something. What was that about?
Well, he wanted to build a ramp out of bricks so that his daughter could wheel down. She was in a wheelchair, and he wanted to build on his own land a walkway so that she could get down to the water and wheel along the water. And so from his door on his property down to the water that jutted up against his property, he built a brick walkway for her. And all was wonderful until the government came along and said, that violates waterway laws. And even though, sure, it's your land, you're not allowed to build that close to the water, even though it's your land. And he said, look, my daughter's in a wheelchair. And they said, we don't really care. And the judge threw it out, saying, this is silly. Of course you can build on your own land. The judge was probably, I don't know, must have been a believer or I don't know what he was, but it sounded like he was one of the few sane ones. And he said, not only was it this man's land, but the girl's in a wheelchair, and If we don't let them do this, they're going to sue us for violating the ADA. And there's actually another corollary to that. Whenever they pass these gun laws requiring guns on all handguns, I'm looking forward to, and I am, I guess you've understood and can assume I'm not a lawsuit happy type of guy. I can't wait to use the ADA against the gun laws, because people like me with three fingers, we won't be able to defend ourselves as well as, quote, a normal person, if we are required to have a gun lock. And it will be interesting to pit one government silly regulation against another.
And you point out in your book that that sometimes these regulations do oppose one another, and sometimes an ADA regulation can oppose a civil rights legislation. If you obey one, you violate the other. If you violate the other, why you it's a lose-lose proposition. The only people who get do well are the lawyers on this, who just love these new federal laws, which are enforced by the Justice Department with draconian laws, and they have whole divisions in the Justice Department just looking for somebody who's violated an ADA law. Isn't that right?
That is right. And Dr. Monteith, the law should be simple enough. The law should be so simple an 8-year-old child can read it or can understand it. And they make our law so severe with so many tens of hundreds of thousands of laws and regulations, no one on earth is capable of understanding it. And they only do that when they want to use it against the innocent. There's no other reason to have laws such as we have.
Well, what's the solution? What can we do out here in the audience? You know, we put up all these problems, all the things the government is doing to harass our people, to restrict our freedom, violating the very concepts of our federal constitution. And yet we sit out here and we say, well, what can we do about it? You speak against it, and suddenly it's almost as if you're against the disabled.
It is, and a lot of people, I'm one of the first to speak out against the ADA, because people were afraid they'd look like they hated the handicap. One thing you can do is, I strongly encourage you to be strong in your church, to be strong in social issues, not to back down, not to compromise. The ADA is wrong, I say, not because of the Constitution. It violates thou shalt not steal. That's the most important reason why it's wrong, because it takes money, it causes someone to spend money that they did not want or have. they didn't want to spend money on it, or they didn't have it to spend in the first place. And when you violate thou shalt not steal, everything falls all around them. And the first thing we can do is educate our children so that they understand right and wrong. They understand that there is morality. They understand there is absolute right and absolute wrong. See, the ADA is allowed because we in America allow gray areas. And gray areas allow incrementalism so that they can keep adding to the ADA every day, making it more draconian, as you say. And I say do away with it completely, but I know what the chances of that are going to be. But maybe if we educate enough people and talk about it enough, people will stop accepting the next step that keeps happening to us.
And the tragedy is that, let's say you have an office, a medical office or a legal office, and you want to remodel that, you want to make it nicer. Well, if you're going to do any major changes in that office, suddenly you're going to have to redo the bathroom and bring it up to ADA standards. And you have to enlarge the walls and knock a wall out or a couple of walls out and put all the other things in there required for wheelchair access and for disability with the bars on the walls and adding tremendously to the what you're trying to do. So there's real incentive not to update your office, not to do any major repairs. Just let the things go as they are.
There really is. And even some businesses cannot follow the ADA because they are in a thin mall area or a strip where their aisle width has to be a certain width in order to pass the ADA requirements. But if they can't widen the aisles any because the walls are there. There's someone next door on either side of you. And so they're really in trouble. They have to either move out or they have to take out an aisle so that the remaining aisles can be wide enough in order to pass muster. And you also find that a lot of very small, poor businesses in very small towns never worry about the ADA. If there's a small coffee shop or a small cafe in a very small town, that coffee shop won't be ADA compliant, and they really have very little to fear. But if there's a McDonald's next door to them, even if they do less business on the average that coffee shop does, the McDonald's will be compliant because that's where the deep pockets are, and McDonald's knows they're the ones that will be taken to court.
Now, what about the movie theaters? That was one of the most incredible concepts of some of the suits against movie theaters because terribly obese people couldn't sit in the seats. And we've seen this with the airlines where they sue the airlines because they have to take up two seats.
I know, and it causes all prices to go up if they have to widen all those seats, and it's just ridiculous. If I need something special, I have been on crutches, I've been on a wheelchair. If I need something special, I view it as my job to have to obtain that, and not my employer, not my government. If I need something, I need to take care of getting it in order to be functional in society.
Well, the great tragedy is that there are well-meaning people in Washington, D.C. who vote for unconstitutional laws because they want to help, and what they've done is actually end up hindering.
They have.
And, of course, we all pay for it, and with each new law that's passed in Washington, D.C., we lose a little more freedom until eventually we have a centralized planning organization as they had in the Soviet Union, and there's no freedom left. And people say it could never happen here. It is happening here all the time. But it happens so slowly and incrementally that people really don't understand what's happening.
Sure, that's exactly right.
Well, we're just about out of time. Our guest has been Greg Perry. His book, Disabling America, it's a fascinating book. I was a little skeptical when I got it, but after reading it through, there's so many wonderful points in it, and I recommend it to our listeners. Greg, would you have a parting thought for our listeners today?
I do. It concerns, and I notice my phone's beeping here, so I hope I don't lose the battery. I feel unprofessional having it doing this. But anyway, I would talk to parents of newborn handicapped children and say, treat your child not as a handicapped child, but as a child with handicaps, and there's a difference. Assume that they can do, don't assume they can't do something until they've shown you they can't do something. And if they can't do something, help them out. And if they then still can't do it, then move on to something else. Teach your child, take advantage of their mental capacity as much as you can, because it's our mind that really makes us successful, not our bodies.
Amen to that, and especially as you get a little older, the body begins to fall apart a little bit, but as long as we still have our mental faculties, that's what it's all about. Well, Greg, I admire you greatly. I've never met you, but after reading your book and seeing what you've accomplished in life, you must have had amazing parents to have given you the drive and incentive that you have.
I have an amazing parent and an amazing God.
Amen. God bless, and thanks so much for being with us.
You too. I appreciate it.
Bye-bye. Well, our guest today, Greg Perry, his book, Disabling America. And you have to understand, whatever we subsidize, whatever we help, we get more of. You want to get a lot more people on welfare? You subsidize welfare. You make it easier to get onto welfare. And, of course, you want to get a lot of disabled people. You give them special rights that other people don't have. Then you give them large payments. And, of course, you do everything from the government to help them. You've got a lot more disabled people. You got to teach people to be individuals, to stand on their own, and certainly they need a helping hand from all of us. But the Americans with Disability Act is destroying so many good people here in America today.
This is a fascinating four-tape set, Genocide, and one of the tapes is an interview with a Dr. Dinigan who heard back in 1969 actually a talk given by Dr. Day, who would later become the president of Planned Parenthood. And Dr. Day laid out the whole plan for America, the fact there are too many people, the fact that we're going to have to create new diseases, the fact that we're going to have to conceal some of the very obvious treatments for cancer because people are going to have to die of something. They might as well tie up cancer. An incredible interview and a series of other interviews that will go into the background of what is happening in America, why new diseases are cropping up all the time. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of our four-tape set, Genocide. It's vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. America, our values, our future are under attack today.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Let me mention the program that we have. It's called Phenopoly. Phenopoly is a program that's dedicated to helping you and your children and grandchildren learn how to read and pronounce words and how to spell phonetically. And that's how how we taught people, children, to read 200 years ago. But then along came the educators dedicated to Marxism and dedicated really to having an elite and then a large number of people who would be more or less serfs in this new socialist feudal society that they planned. So they deliberately dumbed down our children. They did not teach them to read and read properly. And if your children have difficulty reading or pronouncing words, they're simply victims of an organized program. You need, of course, to get Phenopoly. It'll teach children in about 16 hours how to read, how to pronounce words, and begin to spell. It tells you the 12 basic laws of the English language, the 40 basic sounds. And they've taken children from the lower segments of society and given them this program. They played the first three or four games. Actually, it's seven board games, and they play just like Monopoly, but they've taken the first seven of those board games, take the first three board games, and after they've been at it for 16 hours, they're able to pronounce words and read well. So if you'd like to get a Phenopoly set, most of these programs that teach phonics are $300, $400, $500, $600, $800. This is $139.95. That's $139.95. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And just tell the Mary, who will be answering the telephone, that you'd like to get a Phenopoly program. I don't think you'll be sorry that you did. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time when we have to remind you that Radio Liberty is listener-supported, and if you're out there listening to us across America, we do hope that many of you will decide that you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters and get our four best tapes of the month and get our monthly newsletter. If you'd like to, give us a call at 1-800-5-4-4-8927. 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like a free copy of our latest newsletter, we'd be glad to send you one of those as well. And of course, the latest newsletter, that's the March newsletter, tells you what happened at the secret cabinet meetings in the White House when during the opening parts, opening 2 months of the Bush administration. And this would be January and February of the year 2001. That's 8 to 9 months before the attack on the World Trade Center. You'll be fascinated by what you read there and what you learn. And it will give you an entirely different perspective of why we're in Iraq today. So then we want to mention that there's going to be a conspiracy conference. It's going to be held over in Santa Clara, just across the hills from where I live, although out across America, why you may very well want to come to this. And they're going to have Joyce Riley and Len Horowitz and Rodney Stitch, and many of our regular speakers are going to be there. I didn't get an invitation to speak, but we are going to have a table, and we would think that many of you would want to go. Now, there'll be some people there I would disagree with, but I think there's well worthwhile hearing to see what they have. But most of the speakers, I think, are excellent this year. In fact, I really look at the lineup. I'm very impressed. Call them at 209-832-0999. That's 209-832-0999. Or go to their website at conspiracycon.com. That's conspiracycon.com, and you'll learn more about the conference. That's going to be on Memorial Day weekend, the 29th and 30th, Saturday and Sunday of May, and looking forward to seeing you there. Then I want to mention that we hope that many of you, if you have not read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, will want to get a copy. It will give you an insight into the true nature of the spiritual battle that's going on. It will tell you the secret that has been passed down by the sages of the secret societies since the beginning of recorded time. And when you know it, it will change your entire perspective, and you'll be able to understand so many of the unanswered questions of why things are happening. So many things just don't make sense. But after reading Brotherhood of Darkness, I think many of these things will make sense. You can get the book for $12.95. You can get the book and the video and the audio tape for $29.95. It's the Brotherhood of Darkness special. We do hope that many of you will want to get the a video called Megiddo, The March to Armageddon. It goes into the secret societies working behind the scenes responsible for the wars of the 20th century. And then, of course, the fact we're moving rapidly into World War III, just as has been prophesied, and not necessarily just in the Bible. There have actually been plans made for the World War III for many years by people from the dark side. Because, of course, the one thing they want is as much horror and destruction as they can. The video is Megiddo. It's very professional. We recommend it to you. Another video is called Diapraxis in the Church. It's the story of the church growth movement, the movement that's sweeping across America, changing both the music and the message of the Christian church, or the Protestant church. If you're a Catholic, you certainly would want to get the Wisdom of Malachi Martin, who was a Jesuit priest, was a confidant of Pope John Paul XXIII. Tremendous insight into the tragedy that has befallen the modern-day Catholic Church. Again, the Wisdom of Malachi Martin, and then, of course, we ask you to pray for America. We ask you to pray for our leaders and our ministers. We ask you to pray for revival, because I'm firmly convinced if the American people don't turn back to God, then we will never again have His blessing on this nation. And remember our telephone number. It's 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And so until tomorrow, when we'll be with you once again, we ask you to pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. Bye-bye.